Leslie.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. So this is called Coffee and Conversations with Rachel. I do not like coffee, but do you like coffee? Did you start your day with coffee?
I started my day with coffee. I'm a coffee gal. I'm a big fan of the Americano, which is shots of espresso with hot water.
Okay.
So it's like black coffee.
Yeah, that's what Paul loves.
Nice.
So he wishes I would drink coffee with him. I've tried even the sugared up coffees. I still cannot. So,
that's okay.
You know. So we are doing a series on fitness, and I'm glad you're here to talk about it. I would love to hear your background in it, and then we can kind of go from there.
Yeah. I like to always tell people that I have been an athlete my whole life. I grew up playing soccer, playing tennis, volleyball, like anything that involved a ball. I loved chasing a ball around and loved running. I did not wind up playing a college sport. I wanted to go to Pepperdine, and Pepperdine is D1. So I wasn't quite good enough to play soccer for Pepperdine, but I grew up playing club sports and all of that. My story then continues to after college, just encountering fitness as a lifestyle. And part of that is dating and getting married to my husband, Dusty. He's also a big fitness guy, likes to work out. And so that was something that we shared and I discovered a love for after college. And since then, I became a fitness instructor, just taught group exercise classes. And then after doing that, became a CrossFit coach. I started coaching at a couple CrossFit gyms, started a CrossFit gym at Pepperdine with Dusty. And then I'm also a yoga teacher. So I've been teaching yoga for 10 years. Yeah, practicing for 20 years since I was a freshman at Pepperdine, and then started teaching about 10 years ago. And I also wrote my master's thesis on the intersection of spirituality and movement. So basically like theology of the body and like how and why to care for your body as a temple of the Holy Spirit. So it's something I'm passionate about.
Yeah. So yeah. You've done a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have like a favorite?
Fitness practice. So I currently, my practice of choice is CrossFit. So I wind up at a CrossFit gym picking up heavy weights at least 3 times a week.
Okay.
And it used to be more before becoming a mom.
Yeah, I get that. where do you do yoga at? Do you coach it somewhere?
At present, I don't teach at any studios. Okay. I've taught at several studios over the years, but at the moment, I just practice at Core Power, which is awesome. They have a nice heated room. So get a good sweat going.
Yeah, I get it. Once you get a mom, become a mom too,
it changes things.
Harder. Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely changes things. So let's say we have someone that hasn't been in fitness in a while and they haven't done anything for a year or two and they are really wanting to get back in, but they get back in for a week and then they get discouraged because something happens, life happens, and then it's just this vicious cycle of trying to figure out how to get back into it and not feeling shame for not doing anything for a week or two and then just repeating this cycle. What would you say like is a good place for them to start to help them stop the shame, but then a good just fitness practice to start up with?
Totally. Totally. Yeah. That's such a good question because I think that is really relatable to a lot of the population.
Oh yeah.
People who kind of wind up in cycles where they start something, they have a lot of motivation, like at the beginning of the year, you know, January's coming up and
the gym is so busy.
So busy in January.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing I would say to someone in that situation is that it starts in your mind, believing that you're worth it, believing that your mental health, your body, is worth caring for, that like I, as a image bearer of God am worth taking care of, and that my joints, my muscles, my breath, even my nutrition are all, worth caring for and worthy of excellence and of discipline and of investing in my longevity. And I think that starts in your mind. But then the next step is I say this, it sounds bad, but this is true, is lower the bar. Because when people, you know, start a New Year's resolution or something like that, they show up at the gym and they're like, great, I'm going to work out 5 days a week and I'm going to go for an hour at a time. And they create this expectation that is just unrealistic for their life. Because if you look at what they were doing in December, which was 0 days at the gym per week, it's just unrealistic to start 5 days a week in January. And so I would say lower the bar, go once a week for 15 minutes and then congratulate yourself for a job well done and do it again the next week. And then once you have that habit, you can build on that or increase it or just maintain it, because anything is better than nothing.
Yeah. I was talking to another fitness instructor just last week, and she was like, you have to find something that you enjoy doing. Because if you are like, I'm going to go run a mile today, and you absolutely hate running, what are the chances you're going to keep that up? She was like, nothing.
So low.
So she was like, find something that, like, you know, encourage people to find something that they love doing. Is it Pilates? Is it yoga? Is it going for a walk? Is it hiking for just like 20 minutes? I feel like that is like key of like, sit down and like, what do you like enjoy?
That's so true.
Maybe.
What do you enjoy doing?
What do I enjoy doing? I actually love running, but I have an injured knee right now.
Oh,
so it's like trying to figure out what to do. And I also love, like, I loved lifting heavy weights like you.
Nice.
Which I can do, but the injured knee is just, it's taking me down. And it is like a little bit like, not shame, but, oh man, this is like such a bummer. And when is it going to get better? And just like feeling a little bit down, but you know, I can still walk and it doesn't bother it, and just different things like that. So
I feel that. Have you tried swimming or cycling?
I've tried swimming. I hate it.
Don't love it. Okay.
I love cycling.
Okay.
So I do like spin classes and stuff.
Nice.
And I've loved those.
Nice.
So yeah. And now the weather's nicer. Like, I like going and riding a bike.
Mm-hmm.
And we live super close to the YMCA trail, which is a very long, it's like a, I think 7 miles one way. So like, it's like a 14 mile like bike ride if you
do
both.
That's perfect.
But yeah.
And Austin's very bike friendly. Austin's very fitness friendly in general.
It is. Yeah.
I find that it's an easy place to be active.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yoga and Pilates, and I would, let's say someone's like been injured too and is still injured. I don't know. I would love to know a little bit more about yoga and like how that can kind of help them recover if you're wanting to get back into weights or you're wanting to get back into running, but you've had an injury and just like taking it slow like that a little bit and healing your body up a little bit.
Totally. Yeah. I find that, and I'm guilty of this myself on and off, because I don't have a super consistent yoga practice. Right now I am going to a studio, but there have been times where I've taken, you know, months off, and I find that mobility or flexibility, just stretching in general, is one of those kind of underappreciated aspects of fitness, but it goes such a long way to injury prevention or injury recovery. And I think a lot of people are walking around with all kinds of overuse or underuse injuries, right?
Yeah.
Either because they did something that hurt themselves or because they're not doing something and they're feeling achy and their body has become very stiff and they feel distrustful of their body even. And so those low impact sorts of activities, Pilates, yoga, can be incredibly life-giving, because it can be a way to maybe like repair that relationship with movement in a way that doesn't feel aggressive and doesn't feel competitive, because nobody's comparing themselves to each other or at least they shouldn't be in a yoga class. I always tell people there's no such thing as good at yoga, right? Because, you know, you're there on your mat and you're not comparing yourself with your neighbor. You're not comparing yourself with me. You're not comparing yourself even with who you used to be. But just meet yourself on your mat where you are today. And I think that's an important aspect for everyone, but especially someone who's maybe recovering from an injury.
Yeah. I do. The stretching is such key. Every time I get injured and we end up in physical therapy or ended up at the Rosti or something like that, there's always some kind of like stretching recovery, like do this for multiple months.
Yes.
And like, it'll strengthen that area that you need to like get back to running or lifting weights. So,
yeah.
Someone is feeling shame and like the encouraging side of like taking it to God. God is like with you during this, and taking a walk and praying about it, just like using God as your strength for getting you back into working out. Like, kind of what would you say about that? And like your thesis a little bit, like you wrote about that, like spiritually and your fitness and all that stuff.
For sure. Yeah. I think when I think about shame and I think about approaching fitness, either from a place of recovery or a place of, because people have complicated relationships with movement sometimes. People have, there are a lot of conversations and categories wrapped up in this topic where, you know, we think about body image, we think about eating disorder, we think about injury, think about competitiveness, or I mean, you know, any number of issues associated mm-hmm. with fitness and movement and health. But I think an important place to start always is from a place of worth and a place of value that I pursue movement, not me personally, but yes, me personally, but whoever I'm talking with or coaching yeah. is that you should be pursuing movement, not because you dislike yourself, but because you like yourself, because you value yourself, because you want to see what you're capable of, or you want to nurture your joints, your muscles, and you know that doing so will ultimately make you feel better in the moment, but will also make you a better instrument for the kingdom, and it'll make you a better family yeah. member, a better parent, a better friend, that it's not selfish to work out. It's actually selfish not to, because you're becoming a better version of yourself when you do that.
Yeah.
And sometimes, so I know that sounds like pretty extreme to say it's actually selfish not to work out, but I think some people need to hear that, because a lot of times, especially in Christian circles, people are like, oh, I'm like, there's so many other things that like I can be more service, you know, not working out, or yeah. like I can't take an hour to care for myself. But the truth is, you will show up better as a family member, as a Christian, yeah. as an individual, as a child of God, if you if you incorporate fitness and discipline as an aspect of your life. And you made a great point that it doesn't have to be at the gym. It doesn't have to be at the yoga studio. Yeah. It can be outside on a sidewalk or on a bike, or I mean, any number of ways. There are so many ways to move your body.
Yeah. I would encourage people to, right, you may not have that time, but it's just such a good thing for your kids to see too.
Yes.
Like, let them ride a bike and you walk, or hey, we're going to go for a 15-minute, right? It does not have to be extreme. We can,
That's
let's
right.
start small, not like an hour. Let's like all go for a family walk after we eat dinner for 10 minutes mm-hmm. and just starting to let your kids see that too mm-hmm. of exercise is important. It is a priority. And like, we don't have to, you know, go lift weights, but we are going to go like walk or something. And
absolutely. Yeah. Humans are wired for movement. You know, I'm not a neurobiologist, but I know just enough about endorphins and dopamine and serotonin to know that when you move your body, like you are wired to feel better afterward
yeah.
and wired to, after accomplishing something basic, like a workout, then you can take that same momentum and approach other difficult things in your life and other challenges in your life. And so you're building those pathways in your brain that make you better able to tackle the hard things in your life. And let's face it, life is hard. Like there, mm-hmm. if someone listening has not experienced anything in life, anything difficult in life, then like just hang on for a few more years. Life is going to get difficult at some point.
Yeah.
You're going to get a curveball. Something difficult is going to get thrown your way. And you will be better able to withstand and endure that difficult thing and emerge from it stronger if you have experience of moving your body and doing that same thing outside or in the gym or at the swimming pool. Or I mean, there are so many different ways to do
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I mean, just speaking of like little kids too and like exercise, mm-hmm. I just like my kids when they're outside all day running around, they like fall asleep so quick. Because they've been
so
exercising
awesome.
All day.
Yeah.
And then my oldest was like sick a couple weeks ago and he just like was not going to sleep at night. And he realized it himself. He was like, I think it's because I'm like not getting out and moving. I'm just like laying on the couch because I don't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And like even at a young age, him like realizing that, like I haven't been outside. I haven't like seen the sun. I haven't been running around riding my bike. And I was like, oh. We're already like,
I love
right?
hearing that.
We're already,
yeah.
He's able to tell that. And
well,
like,
and that tells me that he is also watching you and your husband. He's watching you also value that in your lives and knowing that you have engineered a family that values and sees the connection between
yeah.
The mind and the body and sees the connection between the spiritual and the physical and that ultimately maybe it's all one thing. Maybe we don't need to bifurcate between the two, but I think that's really cool to hear that insight from a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a wise,
yeah,
it was, wise person.
Yeah. It was very wise of him and interesting that he like noticed that about
yeah.
himself. So,
yeah. You know, it makes me think too of, something I wrote about in my master's thesis a little bit is that everyone's heard of the psychosomatic principle, the idea uh-huh. of a psychosomatic illness that how you feel in your mind, if you're experiencing depression or something like that, that will frequently present in an ailment or a malady elsewhere in the body. A common one would be like gut issues that are downstream of mental health issues, right? That frequently someone who experiences anxiety or depression will also present with digestive issues, right? Uh-huh. So that's just one example. But what's also true is, so what I just described is the psychosomatic principle. So mind impacts the body, psycho, mind, soma, body. But there's the reverse is also true, and that's the somatopsychic principle. And the idea that what we do with our bodies impacts our minds. And so habits that you have, movements, getting out in the sun, resting well, hydrating, nutrition, and movement, yes, also stretching, how you breathe, even posture impacts how you feel inside, how your mind feels, and the what's going on with the hormones and dopamine, serotonin, endorphins in your brain. And when you know that, you can kind of hack your body. You can hack how you feel, because it's like, okay, if I'm feeling unmotivated or I'm feeling like I have low confidence or low self-esteem or something like that, what would it look like to take postures with my body, sitting up straighter, getting some movement going, walking around the house, and translating that into feeling better in my mind and in my heart?
That, yeah, that is so true too, because just for me, if I don't go work out in the mornings, like I'm a get up early, go work out, it just changes my whole day. Like I can't get myself motivated to like get things done. I feel tired and groggy all day usually. And it's so crazy if you think about it though, right? I'm getting up early and I go work out. And then when I don't, you should feel, I don't know. I would
it doesn't
like,
make sense. I totally feel the same way.
More energized, but I do not. Like,
yes.
I cannot get myself doing things, which is so ridiculous. But yeah
I feel
it's
that.
So true.
So. Now, having said that, something that I've noticed just recently since becoming a mom and having a baby at home, my baby was born 5 months ago, and I find that I am less capable or motivated to lift heavy weights because of fatigue, but that doesn't mean I should stop moving. That doesn't mean I have a pass on moving my body. That's why I got back into yoga because I don't feel like I'm recovering well now because I'm not getting good sleep, but I can still stretch. I can still swim. I can still walk. I can still practice yoga. There are lots of things that I can do that are not going to require good sleep to recover.
Yeah.
So I think that's an important thing to remember is that, you know, back to your previous point, that whatever you do should be something you enjoy. And it should be something that fits your life, because not everyone at every stage of life can lift heavy weights.
Yeah.
So,
I have three kids, so it is hard, but I do have to think that I always think the day before, like, okay, what is my day going to look like the next day, kind of thing, and like maybe I only have time for a 10-minute walk, but I'm like, I got to get up at 5:50 to like get the 10-minute walk in.
Yeah,
and it changes my whole day. So I would encourage people, if you are trying to get back into it, you can't like that morning be like, okay, what do I want to do? It's like, you got to think that day before, like, okay, my day looks like this with kids and craziness. Like, what can I do for just even 5 minutes will change my day. Getting up and being like, I only have 10 minutes to walk really quick and then get going.
Well, and that, what you just described, thinking about it the night before and thinking, okay, what does my day look like? And here's where I'm going to fit it in. You're removing some decision fatigue. And that's one of the things that James Clear talks about in Atomic Habits, where he says, if you want to be a runner, but you just find yourself talking yourself out of it, out of running all the time, you come up with all these reasons not to, then remove all the list of decisions that stack up against you going for the run. Remove those decisions by setting your running shoes out the night before, filling up your water bottle and setting it by the door, or putting go for a run in your calendar. Like, you create decisions ahead of time that open the doors toward that healthy behavior that you want to cultivate, rather than close the doors, or rather than come up to a decision and be like, oh, do I want to open this door or close it? Do I want to get my running shoes out of the closet or not? Do I want to fill up my water bottle or not? Do I want to make time for this or not? And so thinking ahead the night before, planning ahead to what it is that you're going to do, great behavior.
Yeah. And I think other people, I am fine like working out by myself and walking, but I know some other people, like, you may need an accountability partner, and that's fine. Like, yes, do you need someone to go walking with you? Or maybe you're the person that needs to go to fitness classes and stuff like that. And
that's me. I'm a total pack animal. I cannot work out alone. I hate working out alone, or at least I won't push myself. Like, I'll go for a hike. I will enjoy that. I'll go for a bike ride. But if I want to get any level of intensity, it has to be in a group setting, which is why I CrossFit.
Yeah. So. And you know that about yourself. So I encourage people to like find that out about themselves too, right? If they just cannot get up and get motivated to go do something, like maybe look at fitness classes or, you know, your friend down the street that you see walking all the time. Hey, can I join you on a walk on, you know, Tuesdays or Thursdays? Mm-hmm. So
I think something too, you know, we're talking about shame, and something that I think comes up for a lot of people when they maybe get back into going to the gym, or whether it's after a season of inactivity or an injury or something like that, is that they'll get back to movement. And after day one or day two, they're like, this feeling of imposter syndrome will set in where it's like, I don't belong here. Like, the gym is filled with fit people and I'm not a fit person. Or the gym is filled with people who can lift super heavy weights and I'm over here with my like starter dumbbells. And what I, having been someone who has recovered from injuries, or having been someone who has returned to activity after not having been there before, is I always encourage everyone, myself included, to like, don't compare yourself to the people around you, because you don't know their stories. You don't know how much of their life they spend working on this fitness practice, or how many years they have spent coming to the gym. So it's totally unfair and irrational to compare yourself to a total stranger. The only person you should compare yourself to is who you were yesterday, right? And so the person that you, if you didn't work out at all yesterday, then going to the gym for 10 minutes today is an improvement on that. Or if you went to the gym for 10 minutes yesterday, then going for 11 minutes today is an improvement on that. And it's more important. My daughter will hear me say this to her so many times over the course of her life. It is more important where you are going than where you are, as in like your trajectory, where you are headed. Like, do you have your eyes fixed on something that's an improvement on today? That's more important than where you technically objectively are.
Yeah.
I think that's really important to remember. It's important for me to remember because, you know, I've been getting back into yoga over the last month. I am not where I used to be 10 years ago. I'm not as flexible. I don't have the same level of strength and right, left. I don't have, I don't even have the same amount of balance that I used to have.
Yeah.
But who cares? Because I'm better today than I was yesterday. I'm not better today than I was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, better today than yesterday. That's really important.
Yes. And just like, I don't know, just getting out there and exercising.
Yes.
Yes, better today than, yesterday.
For sure.
So, well, Cecily, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
This was fun.
Thanks.